It's May 8th. I'll go ahead and call the RAC's Safety and Security Subcommittee to order. We have three items on the agenda tonight. We have elections, work plan discussion, and a request from Metro staff to think about some bike security issues, bike security safety. We'll go ahead and move, hearing no objections to the agenda, we'll go ahead and move to...
Hi, Frank. If we have time, I want to add one... I'm sorry. If we have time, I just want to add, if not to talk about, at least to put on a parking lot, update on the what's being done about sexual assaults in the metro. That's what I... But if we don't have time for tonight, we can talk about it later, but I do want to put it on the agenda.
Okay. That might be a good idea to include in the work plan.
Okay.
As well, like as the next,
okay.
Next item. We will go ahead and move on to elections. I'll go ahead and open nomination for elections for our chair. Are there any nominations? I would like to nominate Patrick Delaney, who is not present but has agreed to this request. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of Patrick being elected chair of the subcommittee to take effect by the next meeting. Unanimous support. Moving on to work plan discussion. I thought we could just take a few minutes and talk about what we'd like to focus on for the committee for the next 9 months or 12 months, kind of looking forward. John may also have some idea of issues that he knows that are coming down the pike that may be relevant. And I think a good place to start might be with Carol's suggestion related to sexual harassment follow-up. Is there anything else you wanted to say on that?
No, I just want, you know, I think the last time we had, this sort of surfaced is that, I can't think, Captain Taborn, thank you, you know, in his quarterly report to the board talked about this, but it was sort of like in passing, so I would like to maybe have a presentation of what's going on in that arena maybe for the next meeting, or at some future meeting, because I think we've really kind of gone away from discussion on that, and I know there was some interest on it with the full RAC members of several members of the RAC.
I think it, Marianne.
I just have other thoughts okay. to throw out.
Anyone else on this? I do recall though that when I believe it was Ms. Green came and presented about this, John, when they first rolled out the campaign.
Ms. Lucas,
that she said they were going to be going with the MBTA stock initially, but that they were going to be refreshing it and incorporating WMATA specific things. Does that is that align with what you recall?
Right, and I think one of the things that really struck me, and I guess this is one of my issues, is I belong to a couple of listservs for the District of Columbia, and I get a daily report of crimes committed in those two districts, as well as arrest. And I would really like to see Metro develop some kind of similar public information. I'm not saying that it has to be done daily, but that it should be done publicly, you know, in some way. And particularly that particular crime, there was when Captain Tabor made his presentation to the Metro Board or to the Metro Safety and Security Committee, one of the things that was pointed out was that there was some line of fuzziness between people reporting complaints and them, and which generated a formal complaint. Do you know what I mean? A formal document. And so I'd frankly like to hear more about that. I mean,
you mean people saying something, but it wasn't documented?
Right. or people who, or the other issue was people who maybe went to a kiosk manager when they had a problem, and then that kiosk manager sent them on somewhere else instead of dealing with it. And in other words, the ad says you can go to the kiosk manager, but when people have, some people have had the experience when they actually do that, they are sort of jerked around, for want of a better word. Okay.
Deborah?
Should that be a part of, should that be idea of including a Bill of Rights where the pastors do know where to go and report if they have a complaint? Is that part of it?
It could be.
I think the Bill of Rights question is already underway with the RAC leadership team, and they're working on a proposal. So, but yes, I would assume that that sort of thing could be included in that.
I'm sorry, I did not bring my work plan. Does anybody have a copy of what we had originally? The whole, oh, this is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, now that we have a new chair, we can sort of abuse him as we see fit, abuse Carl as we see fit.
These are what you all have had in, from February as what...
Thank you.
I apologize for not sending them out before.
It's not a problem.
I'm in the reentry process. I'm trying not to burn up. That was, here are some lists of things that were suggested either by Metro or by RAC members previously. Sorry, I thought this was then handed out.
I do think the first...
This is really covered, Beth. But I just didn't remember.
The first, sorry, Marian, you had something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had sort of quickly looked at that, and... Then the last several meetings that we've had, and actually tonight I marked down a couple of different things. I had sort of five topic issues. One is we've got the workshop, or plural,
and I was
that we have to work on. At the last RAC meeting, the mention about youth and safety, and there's something within that that struck me that's just way too out there that I think there is something we could and should do with. Mm-hmm. The article on the Metro station design has safety and security aspects, that this is the time if we're talking about stations. Linking, and this is more linking with the ACC, we keep hearing that they've done a good job, again, on lighting, and they've asked about how on safety and security and other issues could we link together. So that's more of a work process, who might take a lead on a joint subject. And then the last thing, which again, the sexual assault harassment indicators. In listening again tonight, there's another level of indicators, or going down a bit in some of the broad indicators on safety and security that we might want to look at to see if we, I guess it's almost a we agree from a customer standpoint that it's getting, that in fact they're building up to the right things, or the things that we care about are down below. I'm not sure if it makes sense. But at the high level, some things that we think are really important, like the sexual harassment assault statistics doesn't show, and yet satisfaction and other things would be handled if, would be addressed if that's one of the numbers, perhaps that it rolls up to customer satisfaction. If you're going to get beat up every time you go on Metro, you might not be satisfied.
Okay.
Who
was number three?
Yeah, number three was the station design.
Oh, station design.
Yeah. So those are the three I came in with, and tonight it struck me ACC and indicators might be.
I'm sorry, I keep talking without being recognized. Okay, I would say two things. One is, I think the sexual assault thing could be rolled up into the publication of crime data. I have to say that last Fulbright meeting was really kind of a revelation to me and made me go home and do some thinking. I realize that the reason I have a relatively safe experience on Metro is I don't ride Metro in risky times and areas. You know, but it was a revelation to me to realize there were a number of people from the public and also from this committee who felt afraid on the Metro. And I really had to kind of go home and reflect on that, and I realized the reason I don't is because I don't travel most of the time in the dark. Okay, I live like I could almost leap off the subway and into my apartment building at Fort Totten. But that really concerns me, that people, that there were people out there that I was kind of oblivious to, who are not having a feeling of safety on the Metro. And I think that really, really has to be aggressively addressed, not just women, but... Yeah, so I think that's something that really has now assumed a much higher priority for me, and I think one of the first things we got to do is surface the numbers.
Is there a vital signs on security, safety? So.
But are you talking about the crime rate per ride, million miles? Right.
There was also a police blotter, but Chris has done actually a considerable amount of analysis on the data and found it to be irregular in the reporting and just generally not particularly useful. So it is published.
I do recall, though, that the board, I think, is taking up Metro security and safety tomorrow with the chief, right, John?
Right. Later today, let me bring up their
chief of police.
Metro police?
He's presenting a quarterly report.
Right, but I think if people, well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think what bothers me is a quarterly report doesn't tell the story. It's a game, and we've said this many times. The difference between the numbers on the quarterly report, vital signs, KPI, are different from people's experiences. That's what I'm saying. There's some disconnect between the experiences that people are reporting and what those those reports say.
Yeah, Chris. Right. Well, I mean, I think if you're calling 911 and you're going to be transferred to MTPD as it delays response, so that's obviously not a productive action, I think. On bag checks, I think I'm not a security and safety professional. I'm not a, constitutional scholar. So I'm not really in a place to judge that. I've walked through them before and did not consider it a massive imposition on my personal rights, but that's my opinion. Perhaps, John, what do you think the chances are that something comes out of the meeting tomorrow that we can follow up on next week or next month along with the sexual assault stuff?
It's possible. I mean, I think tomorrow what's happening, and we can run through this. Let's run through the safety and security committee report. I can show you, or the security report, excuse me. So I apologize that this is in PDF, so it's not going to show up as well. I also apologize for the parents. Okay, here we go. So crime rate is down. bus crime is up and
injuries are up. Oh, that's included.
No, crimes against person are up. If you see here, crimes using robbery, which is where somebody, you know, it's not just a snatch, but there's a threat, an implied threat. That has gone up year to year. A large number of those are because of cell phone thefts, particularly thefts of iPhone. And then they have some information on the sexual harassment. But in terms of, I forget where I saw this in the paper, but in terms of security, I think the concern is that, you know, is that robberies are, especially robberies, you know, if you look there, there's a fairly, I don't know, what is that, 77 above over 60, you know, it's a 25 to 30% increase.
Year over year.
Year over year of robberies involving force violence or,
now, is this on the this is rail, this is in the entire system, so this could have happened inside the rail car, on the bus, or on the property?
Right.
Yes, that's definitely under report, because 62, I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean,
well, that's specifically force and violence.
I mean, but Kara, if you got your iPhone stolen, wouldn't you report it?
Yeah, but I
don't. So you want it to get stolen?
No. I mean, I would report it, but I'm just saying...
Well, but I mean, it's the responsibility of the person. I mean, it's the station manager is not the person who files the police report. The person who gets their stuff stolen is the person who files the police report, I assume.
I guess what I'm saying is,
has there someone killed in South Bend Metro?
Not on property.
Carl,
doesn't count.
If I may, hold on 1 second, John.
I guess in terms of things coming in, you'd ask about things coming out of tomorrow meeting. Robberies, I mean, not thefts, which are taken, but robberies, which are, you know, crimes involving use of a threat, force, violence, fear,
gotcha,
intimidation, call it what you will. I think that's the takeaway from tomorrow. That's, you know, and I guess the
can you
question
step
the committee is,
Deborah.
Do we have a breakdown for me on the adult battery, and then who report, how the report is made, who gets the number of reports, that's what we're looking for.
The number of reports regarding sexual assault? That was, I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
They have a breakdown of complaints for the first quarter, but I think that might be a good, not just the numbers, but the process might be a good follow-up now that the sexual harassment campaign has been going on for roughly a year.
God, it's been a year.
It's been a year since, maybe not quite a year. I think it rolled out in the summer. So we're getting close to a year.
Okay. Well, that's certainly on our list for our June meeting, I would say. As far as how crimes are reported, well, I mean, I think there's probably something to be said that perhaps the messaging surrounding how to protect yourself. I did see that they have a new scroll thing on the front page of the website about how to protect your stuff, but obviously that doesn't help if your stuff's getting stolen. So I'm not sure what an appropriate follow-up for this subcommittee would be. I mean, I think we can certainly talk about what that would look like.
Well, I definitely think the telephone, if you listen to what Chief Travelich had said and what Chief Tabone had said before him, they didn't say that they could not do this, make a number that was more easily accessible. They kind of talked about the technical challenges, but I think that's one thing that we would need to look at, and I think it's not just for the police. I think it's a technical issue, but I think that that's a theme that's come up over and over again, that if you are the victim of a crime or you're afraid you're going to be the victim of a crime, you know, you have to remember this number that most people, a lot of people have problems remembering. So I think that's one thing we need to take a more. I don't think we need to accept the, we should accept what we've been told up to now, because I haven't heard anybody say it can't be done.
Yeah, the only thing that they were saying was the three-digit number.
Not the simplified number. Yeah, I'm not even convinced that that's true. I just think that we ought to get the people who are technically equipped to make that decision. Not, you know, I think we're getting secondhand information from the police force because it's not a really a their issue, you know. I can't. So, I mean, I think that's one thing we can do. I think the other thing is one of my questions is this. If you do have a crime reported and you do call 911, do those crimes show up on the transit police system or do they show up on 911? And thus, if it's true that they're not reported as transit police crimes, there's definitely the possibility of a great deal of underreporting. So, I mean, that's a definite question I would like to.
I think that those numbers are when MTPD responds to something and issues something, whether it be a report or citation or whatever.
Okay.
That's
and you're saying that that would even be if they got a referral from 911.
As long as MTPD responds to it, it should show up there, I believe.
Yeah, I mean,
why don't I check that with the police to see what the inputs are for that number, so mm-hmm. that we can sort of get a straight from the horse
account. That would be great. And then, I on the three-digit number question, I think I might disagree with you here. I certainly think that it's probably technologically extremely difficult with three jurisdictions, three state-like jurisdictions, and, you know, the additional locals and all these different 911 systems, and that some of that technology is extremely expensive.
But
as
could it be made easier?
Well, like, and if you let me finish, one thing that I do think we perhaps could talk about is, as we had suggested in the last letter we sent, if there is an easier number that can be created other than the one, then maybe that is something that is kind of the middle ground of it's not the 311, but it's also not the status quo, which I think a lot of people think does not work.
Like 962 stop or something like that.
Help.
Right.
962 help.
Well, perhaps we can. Is there someone who would like to, on the committee, who would like to do some research into this and circulate it amongst us?
Just the
number issue. And brainstorm some suggestions for us to look at next week and possibly pass along to staff next month.
Research, you know, what the challenges or other, like.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I guess the real question is, like, if it's not technologically possible, and I'm thinking, like, does New York do it with a 311? Well, New York, New Jersey.
I pretty much know what New York. I think I know what New York does. It does. It has 511. But if, like, for example, when I was going to New York, I was trying to find out about the transit system. It has 511. But if you live outside of that three state jurisdiction, you then have an 800 number that you call.
But if you call 511 and you're in New Jersey, what happens?
You don't get New York 511.
You don't?
No.
I thought you did.
John, can you think of some sort of, is there like someone on the staff side that might be willing to come discuss this in more
detail? I can talk to our safety folks and see who they can recommend. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
Okay.
I'm sure that there's somebody out there.
Okay. So we definitely have that and the sexual harassment update on the thing. We also have our workshop upcoming, and the letter, I think, is hit in the mail shortly, that we approved last week, pending a couple final non-controversial edits for clarity. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Carl.
One thing I would point out, because this phone number thing keeps going around in circles, and I don't think you're going to be able to fix it for landlines. You're not going to get a system-wide fix like that. But if you look at MARTA, for example.
For landlines?
So you're not going to get something shorter than a 10-digit number that'll work on all phones everywhere. But one thing that they can do is they can work with...
But no one's on a landline when they're in the system.
No, but like that, I mean, 511, for example, I mean, you can dial it from anywhere. But that's just it, is that you can work directly with the cell phone providers. Because like MARTA, I don't remember exactly, but you can dial #MPD, and that will connect you to the MARTA police. Now, that's an arrangement that they have made directly with the cell phone companies. And there are other ones. There used to be one in Maryland for like the highway, whoever it is. So it's not a phone number per se. And I don't want to get into the technological minutiae here, but yeah, it's #MPD. But the thing is that only works on AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint because they've had to specifically arrange that with those providers. That said, that would get us like 75% of the way there versus fighting for something for which the technology just does not exist.
Right.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's.
I personally have reservations about creating an emergency number that only works for people with a certain brand of cell phone.
Well, why don't? Because you don't have a cell phone. I guess maybe we don't get too far out in front of that discussion before we get some technical information on that.
I would volunteer to have a conversation with a technical person and get questions from people. Because rather than having the person come here and tell us no, which is probably what they're going to do, I think it would be better for us to find out. It seems like what we want is a specific telephone number. It seems like the issue is finding the right person in Metro to have a conversation with, perhaps, about that.
Yeah, Deborah, sorry.
I just talked with the Fairfax County Supervisor finally last month, and I asked him about my iPhone. I said, how do I contact for an emergency? I cannot hear, but how do I call? Can I dial 911? Text 911? He said he's going to find out. And right now, they said they don't want to rush. I think they have to investigate and test it out first before they decide to set up an E911. That's what Fairfax County is working on now. I said, let's go.
Can you email when you find out what he says? Okay. Chris.
Just for reference, MARTA in Atlanta has a 10-digit phone number like we do, but theirs is 404-848-4911. So they basically took the area code 404, add 4 to each number, and then 4911.
That is more complex than what we have.
Yeah, that makes so much
easier to remember. 404-848.
Next time you're getting held up, I'm going to make you run an equation, and then the code...
But 4911 is obviously easier to remember.
Sure.
Than 2121 or whatever.
Right.
Can I have a conversation with a technical person?
I think Carol's volunteering to be the lead on this initiative.
Once you decide who the person is.
We will see. I will see what I can write.
Yeah. I mean, again, not to get in the weeds, but it's infinitely easier for a WMATA to allocate a number in the 962 exchange than it is to just go grab... And like, I mean, I know Ben's very partial to 1-800-GO-METRO, but 800 numbers are seriously expensive.
We don't want people calling John by mistake.
But something you have to remember, too, is that old number still has to remain because people will still use it. So when you talk with them.
Sure. Yeah.
Can I ask
let's move on to... other work plan ideas.
Yeah, I had something. So I noticed we don't have anything on here about, potential terrorist threats.
I know you guys were saying something about the bag check thing. I don't know. I mean, I think we should add something, especially after we had the conversation last week with the chief. And I personally don't think the bag checks necessarily work, but I think dogs work. I think it'd be interesting to know how much a dog would cost, you know, to have it every station. I'm not sure if that's even doable, because that means there'd have to be a police officer holding the dog, but anyhow, I just feel like we should have something. I feel like that's a must to have, not dogs, but something about potential attacks.
Well, I mean, like most state transit agencies, I'm sure that they're receiving Homeland Security money in some form. And I think we've even gotten briefings on Homeland Security grants in the past, right, John?
Possibly. I don't know. It all runs together. I'm sorry.
So you're saying that might be over our,
I think it's something that we have, that, I mean, the council hasn't touched in at least a year and a half, and maybe we could just get a informational briefing on
what Metro is doing in terms of
non-personal safety. So, like,
Homeland Security,
terrorism, well, I don't know what
the bombs,
mass casualty
they definitely get
preparation.
They get green.
Does this fall into incident communications or?
I would. I might disagree, because the incident communication piece is about, like, I feel like Kara's asking about, like, what exists from an operational standpoint, not how are we communicating what is occurring in the system to people. Am I right?
Right.
I'm sorry. I thought response was part of it. It's not just communication, but incident response.
I think we're talking like what's occurring right now, rather than if something happens, what occurs. If I'm putting words in your mouth, please correct me. Okay. I think that's a good idea to add to the list.
I don't know if it's too early to talk about, but can I add another topic? Emergency drill? And how can we recommend a camp participate or help mental staff arrange? Maybe mental staff does not have to arrange by themselves. So we represent the problem. We cannot reach them in our own area.
John, what do you think about the topic of emergency drills?
In terms of what Metro is doing regarding it, like what programs Metro has in place?
I mean, I
guess I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're doing right now in terms of system drills.
Something we could do on this is ask what is occurring as to drills now. But, I mean, I don't know. I think I agree with John. I don't know that this is fully within our, I don't think that we should be coordinating. We should be establishing emergency drills, frankly. Not that everyone here isn't qualified.
I really think we ought to really start thinking what we can really accomplish successfully mm-hmm. within a window. And I'm thinking, frankly, if you listen to Pavlicek, he did sort of once over lightly touch on terrorism and what Metro was doing in the sense that he did make mention of the fact that they were coordinating with, I mean, I got the impression that they had been in touch with federal officials because of the Boston Marathon thing, and I'm sure that, you know, Washington being a prime target, there's something going on. I know they do get federal funds, but I think that, I don't think they're going to be that forthcoming for, you know, perhaps rightly or wrongly citing Homeland Security. So maybe what we need to do is just maybe roll that into a presentation, asking them to do a presentation to see what they will tell us, and maybe that's the kind of presentation where we need to formulate our questions ahead of time. I don't know. That would be my thought. And on the subject of, Deborah, of the drills, does Metro do, I think we need to ask about that. What do they do in terms of preparing people for drills? Because it seems to me to fall right into the general topic area of this concern that Metro has really about self-evacuation. And it seems to me that one of the anecdotes to self-evacuation or any other kinds of things that could be dangerous in their view would be to have a cadre of people who were trained to do what they should do. I mean, for example, I know in the D.C. area there's a part of the D.C. government, Serve D.C., that has trained citizens for emergencies.
Yeah, we talked about that in the letter, right, Carl? I think that was in there.
Yeah, it was in the letter.
Yeah.
And we also talked about that, you know, if not having a drill, you know, like with the public, having like a fake drill and videotaping it, put on YouTube and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe we could just request a briefing at a future meeting on what Metro does now as an informational item as far as drilling. Not from the perspective of we don't think you do drills, but from the perspective of what is occurring and what can we do, or what is occurring and tell us what you want to do. Yeah. I wanted to say one thing on the youth issue that Marianne had raised, and that is that we held a youth town hall in
summer of 2000.
Last summer.
Yeah.
And it was, I didn't attend, you attended, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carol, would you mind sharing your perspective on kind of that and how it went?
Well, again, it was sort of like, as I said about the last RAC meeting, was really a revelation to me. Most of the time we talk about youth in this meeting, and most of the time when they surface in the paper, it's some kind of problem. You know, gallery place, you know, fighting, crime on buses, throwing rocks at people, et cetera, et cetera. It's very interesting that at this town hall meeting, which is probably attended by, I'd say about 300 youth, mostly from the District of Columbia, some from Montgomery County, they didn't see themselves as problems. Now, of course, they were a select group of youth. They were part of the D.C. Mayor's Summer Youth Initiative Program and sort of a counterpart in Montgomery County. So they were, mm-hmm. So they knew how to organize themselves, you know, break out into groups, et cetera, et cetera. John, whatever happened to the materials from that town hall meeting, because I think Joseph Kitchen, who wasn't reappointed. Okay, because I think maybe whoever volunteers to do that about youth and safety maybe could use that as a starting point. But they did not see themselves as the problems that others see themselves as. But as I said, they were definitely a self-select group.
Right. And as I think the chief as the chief mentioned last week, Metro has done a couple of outreach sessions with you, more focused on that and how action to try and modify their behavior or get them to recognize their behavior. And so, you know, I think that's something that the community should definitely be updated on and see.
But, you know,
I guess, and then maybe make a decision on whether or not it's something that the RAC wants to go forward with, or if Metro's already working with the youth directly, you know, maybe the RAC as middleman is not necessary.
The reason I brought it up is Karen, who was sitting next to me, seemed to be very interested. The whole youth issue struck her, and around WMATA being the transportation system for the schools. I have no idea where she's going, and I think she's the operations committee. But there are lots of things about true behavior and perceptions of behavior in kids and non-kids, whether you're on mass transit or not. And it was because of the interest there that sort of led me to think that between our committees, there may be a reason to do follow-up, knowing that you did something but not knowing the results of it and having it reported and having it brought up again last meeting.
Well, you know.
I guess one question I have is, as an advisory body, what can we do to move the ball on this issue? I'm not saying there's not something tangible that we can do, but I just am not seeing it, at least right now, as far as what we could either advise the board or advise staff to do. Because
I've started to throw everything into this one workshop. But there's a form of it that is a different incident communication, because if passengers are feeling uncomfortable, students with students, or youth with adults, vice versa, how do you manage that? Could be a way of broadening the discussion beyond two separate groups. How do groups interact and communicate when they perceive an incident? Don't know, just a question.
I disagree with Carl, because my whole thing has been we all see youth as a problem instead of as a potential asset in terms of future ridership. So I would, to answer your question, how do we move the ball? For every time we've ever talked about this in the last several years that I've been a member, it's always youth connected with crime. Adults are concerned, but that's another reason why I'd like to see data. I asked Chief Taborn a couple of years ago, never got an answer from anybody, how much do youth contribute to the crime rate? Do you know what I mean? And if you heard what Chief Pavlicek said, and I thought it was very interesting, I'm not pronouncing his name, Pavlicek. Pavlicek said. I thought he made a very interesting comment, kind of almost sort of slid by many of us, I think. There are certain things that kids do that if they weren't in a rail system wouldn't even be considered crimes.
Yes.
Okay, I thought there were kids being kids, okay? So what I personally, this is one thing that I'm very interested in, because I think instead of looking at it as, you know, we're going to police the police policing youth, we need to take a more creative and positive approach, and I think we can get something out of that. Like, for example, I would love to have a member of the RAC sit in on one of those daily meetings of the school system, you know, where they talk about the school. I mean, I realize that, you know, I know we're not, you know, I'm not living in Kansas anymore and I don't have on red shoes. I realize there are gangs in school. I accept that. And I realize that they are mainly interested in the police aspect, but I just think we can get something positive out of this. I really think we can, and that's what I'd like to see us do. I think we can do something, and I think we first of all have to find out what Metro does. As far as I know, about a year, more than a year and a half ago, Jim Hamry came to us, and at that time the proposal was to hire somebody who would work for him, I thought, in the bus planning area, who would, but again, it was going to be like a super monitor of bad behavior among youth. Did they ever hire that person, John?
You know, I'm not sure. We had somebody I thought in the position, but I'm not sure if she
Because I always thought it was strange that youth ride subways, and there's it's a bigger problem than youth on buses. So I think Chairman Downs was highly complimentary of the staff work that was done on the airport working group's report, and the ACAC's lighting study. I think we could do such a project or document with a little bit of research, not a little bit, but a modest amount of research, that might come up with a more positive approach toward youth. And that's where I think we could be of some impact. We need to change the perception. Just like we've changed the perception about buses. Well, I mean, 10 years ago, buses were for the common folk. You know, I can remember having presentations where, in this country, it was like there was a different demographic. Metro used to present data about different groups of people who rode buses. Now, we're talking about priority bus corridors, and we're gentrifying, if you will, buses. And I think that whole culture change, because Metro doesn't have, because the system doesn't have the capacity to get everybody on the rail system, is part of what's driving it, can be applied to changing the whole perception on youth. I think we need to do some research.
Okay. Sounds a little bit like finding out what's the problem.
The first thing is, yes, what is the problem? Quantify the problem versus, you said it, the problem versus the perception of the problem.
Well, perhaps we can add this to the list and talk with Karen about what she envisions from the youth side in her subcommittee and see if there can be kind of a joint effort on this.
Mm-hmm. Remind me,
no, she just made the statement, and I guess
she
I
made the statement. I don't think
right. She just yeah. She just made a statement that she wanted to basically have kids reported if they were on buses during school time. I mean, which again, to me, frankly, sounded like more of the same punitive approach.
I think she was also interested about what the school representation within
Okay. Well, let's add this, and I'll speak with Karen, and we'll see if we can find a path on this that seems to make sense. Any other work plan topics? Member of the public. Yeah, we're getting full here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on the split between like property crime versus terrorism. I guess I say this as a member of the riding public represented by the council and riding on certain parts of the Green Line. Riders face property crime on a daily basis. They don't face acts of terrorism on a daily basis. And I'm not saying that that's not something that the transit police shouldn't prepare for, and I'm sure they do. But the RAC are not necessarily experts in anti-terrorist operations. But what they certainly can do is represent to MTPD the sense that people on a daily basis are getting punched out, assaulted, having their property stolen, et cetera, and that is a very immediate and very pressing problem that makes people feel unsafe. And you know, and from the RAC's perspective, to advocate for riders, it leads to people not riding transit, and that's something, that mode shift is something that should deeply concern the RAC.
So what you're saying is that this list should be prioritized because both of them should be on the list?
Yes, I would say that certainly, the atmosphere of safety on the system should be a high concern.
I think terrorists also make people not want to ride.
With all due respect, I having talked to a lot of people about the system, I find that the threat of property crime, the threat of, just coming here, there's a cluster of youth at 7th and H constantly that make it very unpleasant to use that exit from Gallery Place. and there's never anyone there, not transit police. Now, that should probably be the bid as well, but there's never anyone there doing anything. And I will admit, those are youth, and I know that's I'm making it worse by calling them youth, but that's
they're
young people behaving in a disorderly manner, and maybe they are just kids being kids, but I should have gone out the other exit because that made me feel very uncomfortable, the way they were conducting themselves. And they're not terrorists. They live here in D.C., and they're not trying to blow anything up.
They just made me feel like I was about to be assaulted.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, I do think we'll touch some of those issues during the workshop. But, yes, I think you raise a good point on the relevance of kind of terrorism question versus the thing people face every day. And I think it's a good discussion to have. So we have on the workshop, looking at the phone number, or we have on the work plan, looking at the, in no prioritized order, looking at the phone number issue, an update on the sexual harassment campaign, how it's working, and if there's going to be a refresh. Talking about youth safety and safety issues related to youth. We have the safety workshop, which is we are going to be, we sent a letter on last week. We have kind of general questions on what WMATA is doing on emergency drills and how that all ends up getting scheduled and what occurs. Questions on what WMATA does related to terrorism, and then questions on more just general safety questions. I think that sounds like quite a few things, and I might...
Station design.
Oh, station design, right.
And as it relates to safety and security.
As it relates to safety and security, and perhaps that would be one if we're trying to find out how we might, the RAC, work with the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
That might be one where that would be a logical link, since they certainly have been involved on the lighting, has had an impact on some of the initial thoughts.
Okay. Why don't we just broaden that to, say, physical infrastructure, which would capture station design and things like speakers and, you know, what exists in the system for physical infrastructure and what riders think are the top priorities for improvement. Does that kind of capture?
Yeah, it can, as long as we don't miss an opportunity if this is out and available as opposed to the broader list. I would not take anything off the list, but I'd like to make sure that this, which is in a developing process, we make input to ahead of time.
Okay. I might also suggest, since it's starting to get late, we discuss the bike security and safety issue that Metro Transit Police has to look at next week, if there's no objections.
What is the issue?
John, can you read kind of what...
Sure. As a follow-up to last month's, you know, as a follow-up to this discussion last week, Chief Pavlik, you know, said, hey, looking for from me, and I reached out, or my colleague reached out and said, you know, is there any feedback you're looking for from them? And he came back with, and I'll just read you, we, being MTPD, have used a variety of strategies to combat bike theft, to include conducting outreach, including bike locking brochure outreach, work with Metro Planning and Technology Departments, etc. Do you RAC members have any ideas on how we be able to better reach bike riders and educate them about better security of bike safety?
So they're talking about personal bikes, not Campbell bike share or whatever, ride share.
Yeah, probably.
Right. If you bike to a metro station, you lock your bike.
Yeah.
In theory.
I know that, for example, where I ride to and from Braddock Road, they've had one of those big, you know, electric highway construction signs out that has been flashing tips about what you should do to lock up your bike in order, I guess, to get people, I don't bike to Metro, anyway, in order to get people to do a more thorough job on bike stuff. And I think they're looking for tips on how to better reach you.
I agree. Okay. Any last comments from the public tonight? Chris?
I want to thank you guys for that long laundry list of things you're looking to tackle. In trying to prioritize that list, can I suggest that you maybe put a public poll out either on WMATA's website or that's another issue, but a public poll somewhere asking the public, the people you're representing, to prioritize where you should focus first? Because, I mean, you're concerned about youth, you're concerned about station design. These are all, like, personal items. I am concerned about the phone number, whatever. But these are all personal items, and maybe you can do a poll of riders to see where your time can be best spent and which work. Right, right. I understand. Thank you.
I think we can explore that. I mean, and see if it's an option. I simply don't know what our ability to do electronic work plan development, but.
I mean, in other words, in developing the work plan, we've got some input. I think that Ben sent out, we made up a big long list. We got some input from at least one website. I think we could, if we gave it some thought, collect some of these things. And I think when you say personal, you don't mean personal in the sense of, you know, my personal thing. I mean, in other words, I think these are all things that are impacting on the riding public.
Right. So,
but is, I understand what you're saying.
But what is the priority as far as riders see it? Because every one of them is important, but what is the consensus?
And did we not raise things tonight that the riders might raise?
Well, and I think that may be also something I can check with our customer research folks, Dr. Simon, who was here before and see what kind of information they've gathered.
That would be great, John.
I just don't want you guys spending a lot of time on a project and in the public look that RAC is useless. Because you didn't.
Yeah, who would say that about the RAC?
No one. No one in this room, certainly, that gets to sit at the table now. Well, I agree, Carol, that I think maybe we do know what we want to do next week, which is next month, which is the sexual harassment update, because that is the first thing. And if there's anything we need to cover related to the safety workshop, since I don't anticipate that will probably occur due to scheduling reasons in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
I think we kind of all agree that the telephone thing is important, so I'm going to definitely get on that right away.
Right. And then John and I can consolidate this list with our new chair, Patrick, and to see if there's any other pieces that customer research or the customer comment cards can provide, if we can pull that data. Hearing no objections to that, closing the meeting. All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming. See you next week at – is Nick? Next week is our customer service and operations meeting at 6:30 p.m. here at WMATA headquarters.